Did it work?
It worked indeed.
Excellent.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes. Am I coming through okay?
Yes. I always have a bit of an echo when I'm talking. It's because of the headbuds I'm wearing, but that's not a problem. I'll get
Okay.
used to it. Welcome to Gabbage.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's quite a development, and it just happened in a matter of hours. So we're gonna have to backtrack just a little. Right off the bat, I need to say Brent is fired. He's officially fired from Gappage.
Oh, no, don't fire him. I'm
Oh
just a
no,
substitute.
no. Well, there may be others who might step up and volunteer, but Brent is fired. It's about time. And the sad part about that is I think he enjoys being fired.
Aren't you afraid of retaliation?
Him starting a Gappage on his own, you mean?
Or some other type
I don't think
of.
so. Not in the least bit worried.
It's too much work.
Yeah. So listen, we need a name for you. I don't know. You have so many names, and so we're going to start. We have to assume that some of the Gappage listeners might not really know who you are. So, are you comfortable with your real name, or is there another name you prefer to go by when you're on a show like this?
Well, I'm tempted to say that we should use my code name Penelope.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, let's do Penelope.
Okay, thank you very much. Good. All right, Penelope, welcome to the show. I was complaining today in Discord that I miss Gappage. I miss having a dialogue and arguments even and so on. The spirit of Gappage was to find out, are there differences, are there similarities between people? And you so kindly stepped up and said, I could do that. And so here you are.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask a few questions, just so that anybody, as I said, new listeners might get to know you a little better. You're in the States,
Correct.
in Ohio,
Yes.
not in the big city, and sounds like a fairly small community.
Yes, I live in a small town about 20 miles west of Cleveland.
Okay. Oh, I love to hear the cats in the background. Thank
Oh,
you.
yes, that's Sprocket. He says hello.
Good, good. And have you lived there like all your life, most of your life, or?
No, I've lived in Northeast Ohio my whole life, but I've lived
Okay.
in different cities in Northeast Ohio.
Okay, so you're an Ohio girl.
Correct.
Okay. And just these seem me seem like silly questions, but just to get a bit of a framework here, are both your parents alive?
Yes, they're alive and they live in Ohio, which is really why I'm here.
Okay. And they live together?
Yes.
Oh, okay, that's rare.
Well, sometimes I fear that I'll come home and they'll have murdered each other.
It's one of
It
those
could still happen.
relationships.
Yeah.
But they're still together. All right. And you have brothers, sisters.
I have one brother, a younger brother.
I thought you had a sister, too.
I have a sister wife.
Sister-in-law?
Yes, she's a sister-in-law, and
Okay.
At one point, the news incorrectly reported us as a same-sex couple, so I call her my sister-wife.
Okay. Okay. You're the kind of person where strange things happens to, I
Yes.
believe. Yes.
That's true.
Okay. Like getting stuck in a bathtub, but that's for another show. Yeah. So, anything else that people should know about you, or should we just motor on?
Well, I think the reason I stood up and volunteered to do a Gappage is I'm basically a Lady Brunt. I'm the same age. We're the same generation. I obviously cannot replicate his wit or his personality, but I thought as a stopgap, I might do okay.
Yeah, please don't try and imitate his personality. One is more than enough, Brunt. Sorry, that was the sound of a beer opening. I'm feeling so exhausted today. I shoveled driveways, sidewalks, decks, and thought, oh my God, I'm going to be too tired to drink. But this is such a special occasion. I've just. Go ahead.
Did you use the new shovel?
I did use a new shovel, and I actually was happy using it. We have a snowblower that I actually bought from Brent's mother. And I'm very grateful. It's sort of, the electric thing that just throws the snow
Oh,
20 feet
yes.
ahead. It's great. But there are some things where you just need a shovel for. And this new plastic shovel I bought, it's just perfect. It delighted me like a kid. Like, oh, wow, I got the right shovel.
The
It's
right
quite
shovel
neat.
will make it much easier to move snow.
Well, it can get a fair load. It's not too wide. We also have a plow, and the plow you push, but it gets really heavy, and it's a metal blade, and then once it's full, it's really hard to lift. You've got so much snow on it. So,
Well, and a metal shovel is heavy to begin with.
exactly. And
I made the
this,
switch myself to plastic, and I don't regret it.
yeah, this has more control. I don't know how long it'll last, but it certainly it's doing well. But anyway, I able to have a beer. So first of all, just cheers. Do you have a drink yourself?
Cheers. I do. I have a cup of Tension Tamer tea.
Repeat that.
Tension Tamer tea.
Tension Tamer Tea. Oh, my beer is a favorite. It's Mill Street, which is a local, was a microbrewery. They're quite big now. A Cobblestone Nitro Stout. Organic. Very, very nice. Not very strong, 4.2%, but anybody living in the Toronto area knows Mill Street. And this one on tap is an excellent beer.
It sounds very smooth.
It's very smooth, and it's like a Guinness, but a little bit sweeter maybe, and a very nice creamy head. I love dark beer. I feel like I'm getting something nourishing. So, you're not a big beer drinker, are you?
I do drink beer. I'm in a German heritage band,
Oh,
and
yes.
so I drink a lot of beer.
I dig that. I think we've missed out a few pieces. I asked the basic. You got a mother, you got a father, you got a brother. And I left out the creative side of you. You're in a German oompa band, or what is it?
Yes.
Okay. And what do you play?
I play the flute.
The flute. I guess I've teased a bit, and sometimes when I tease and saying, you played the tuba or something, then I forget which is real and which isn't. So a flute.
I wish I could play the tuba.
Okay. I didn't even know they had flutes in German bands.
The full sort of orchestra style does, yes.
Okay. And you do this for fun, for a hobby?
Yes, I do it for fun, and I also get free beer and free sausages.
Okay. And does your boyfriend also get the free beer and sausages when he goes
Occasionally,
escorts you? Yeah.
yes.
Now, is that because you have German heritage?
Well, it's initially because I've always wanted to play in a polka band. It was on my bucket list, I guess you could call it. And
Wow.
then second, because I could get free food. And then third, yes, I do have some German heritage.
We're going to have to keep dialing back, going back, going back. I can't eat. I don't know you. It's surprising how little I know you. I mean, I know you. I've met you a couple of times at in Windsor at these conferences. I was going to interview you in Cell, and then your boyfriend stepped in and sort of grabbed you and pulled you out or something like that. I might be exaggerating, but and then so I missed a whole lot. And I'm trying to picture your childhood. Like, what was your childhood like? Were you a happy child? Were you musically inclined back then? Or?
My parents are musically inclined, and
Okay.
so I feel like I had some opportunities thrust upon me. But really, I picked up the flute. I played it in middle school, which I
Okay.
guess most people call junior high. And then I didn't play again really until I was in my mid-20s. I had to relearn as an adult, but it's brought me a lot of joy.
Well, that's good. That's good. Now, you mentioned you're the same age as Brent. Can you just give us a rough, round it off or whatever? I'm not, is that, you're in your 30s?
We're 37.
37. Okay. Oh, you are the same age. Okay.
Yes.
Well, how does that feel? How's 37 sitting with you?
Well, some days this is probably something we have in common. I feel like my brain is still young, but my body, parts of it, have just randomly started to fail me. And it's frustrating because the outside doesn't match the inside.
Yeah, I'm definitely going through that. So, you're right. Now, you did have some health issues. Is that something you want to talk about, or would rather prefer we just park that aside, or?
Don't know that it's super interesting.
Okay, all right. We'll leave that aside then for now.
See, I feel like we're at a, I'm at a, or one of us is at a disadvantage. You've been doing personal podcasting for a very long time, and you've even gotten some awards for doing it. So I feel like I know a lot about you,
Too much sometimes. But yeah. And I don't, because I get a lot of the podcast. I know you in your joking mode quite often, and talking about food when you do your Foodies podcast. But I don't know more the serious, more the, I'd say even the real you. Like, I know you have a job and you go off to work every day. I'm not really sure what the job is, and sometimes people don't even want to talk about their jobs either.
The
You have
job
a house.
thing that's boring. Yeah, the
Yeah.
basic life stuff.
You have a house.
I do. I'm a
And
homeowner.
just to get this one out of the way, you were married and then you're not married now.
Correct. Yeah, I
Okay.
lost 180 pounds. It was awesome.
You that refers to the husband?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not picturing a big you at all. Good. Okay. So, the premise of the Gappage podcast is to sort of pick a topic and explore it and see how people feel. Today, all of our news, and it's funny because it wouldn't have even touched your news down there, because you probably don't get much Canadian news at all, unless it's our prime minister insulting your president. Did you get that one?
I had read an article about a number of world leaders insulting the president, but
Yeah. Okay.
there's so much of that that it didn't really surprise me or stick with me.
Well, it was a huge story here because he was late for a meeting at Buckingham Palace, and of course you're supposed to be on time. And there he's standing with Queen Anne and the President of Germany and or of Britain and France, and I forget who else. And he was joking and saying this guy had an impromptu press conference that ran 40 minutes, and he looked like a kid. Somebody posted that today. He just looked like a kid. Telling out a bit of gossip and sort of almost giggling about it. And of course, he was referring to Trump, who was held him up. And it was really childish. And a lot of Canadians were annoyed, but the Canadian media played the clip incessantly for like 48 hours to show, like, and it's at a critical time in trade negotiations and so on. And we're thinking, why would you do that? Clearly, Trump is going to see this, and everybody's laughing at him, and it's like, it's really annoying. But I guess that wouldn't have been such a big story where you are, and maybe you're not a news hound anyway.
I do read the news throughout the day, but just one more article about another world leader mocking a president who deserves to be mocked is, it's really blends in with all of the other similar stories in my head. But it does sound like our news isn't all that dissimilar if you also have news cycles that will run one clip incessantly, perhaps maybe to distract from other things that are going on.
Well, and this is our national broadcaster. This is CBC, Canadian Television Network, or no, that's CTV. It's ours, the one the taxpayers pay for, and we expect better of them. Their radio is very good, but the TV is falling behind. But the other big story, and I'm bringing this up just to see if there is a gappage, just in terms of what we've been exposed to. Today was the 30th anniversary of the biggest massacre in Canadian history, and this would not be counting Aboriginal people. But it was a man walked into a polytechnic college in Montreal and with a high-powered rifle and shot, I believe the number was, God, it could have been as high as 30. I don't know, just women, like separated the men from the women and then just killed all the women. They were
No,
feminists.
I didn't see that at all. So,
Oh, today it was huge. A book was written about it because it is the 30th anniversary, and I should know the number. They were reading out all the names. Maybe it was 18 women. I don't know, but it was all over. Ceremonies, a minute silence.
I did see a collage on Twitter of I read it was the anniversary of some type of massacre. I saw it was Faces,
That
but
was it.
I didn't realize that it was a school shooting, number one, which I thought was sort of
Well,
something mostly happened here, and I didn't realize that it was all women.
yeah, it wasn't your typical school shooting. Like, this guy went in with a point because it was a school for engineering, and he didn't want women to be doing those jobs. So it was one man with a particular target, and he was anti-feminist. And at the time, they were thinking, "What is this? You know, is it a terror? What is this thing?" And only now they're pointing out that this was clearly a case of an attack on women, and we can't forget that. So it was huge, and it was kind of, before we started recording, I said, well, I don't want to talk about that. I can't talk about that. But it feels almost, from my side, almost sacrilege not to mention that on this day we're recording, this is sort of the biggest news story, and it's a tragic one.
Well, 30 years ago isn't all that long ago.
No.
That kind of attitude and hatred to exist, that kind of fear that somehow men will somehow be made obsolete because women want the same educational experiences and career paths, it's not all that long ago for that to happen.
No, and I think it's after the Me Too and everything else, I think it's more of an awareness of women standing up and saying, hey, you know, we will not be beaten down or forced out. You know, we have to be strong and stronger after this, and we need men to know where we stand and what's important to us. So it's an awkward topic, but I mention it only because I know how could anybody have a difference in opinion. This is a horrible thing, and the man was a sick man, and that's it. So that's out of the way. How about you bring up a topic?
So I was thinking about the nature of the gappage, and I think one thing that we have that you did not have with Brent is that in addition to an age gappage, we have a country gappage, which we just discussed, and we have gender gappage.
Exactly. I've always felt, oh, thank God I was born a man. It would be so hard to be a woman. And it's kind of weird. I have an older sister, and I don't know that she's ever been entirely comfortable with who she is. And so maybe I'm sort of, that's my role model. But I can't even fathom, what would you wear? Like, that's the first thing that strikes me. Well, how would you dress yourself? Like, what appearance do you do? Like, it seems a hugely thing that would just keep me locked in a room and never leave.
It does seem like women have more culturally acceptable options for what we do with hair and makeup and clothing than men do. I've often thought that it must be kind of boring to be a man where you have maybe four hairstyles and, you know, a lot of the clothes all look alike to me, and how sad it must be to be a man who wants to step outside of wearing those things but is afraid to because he thinks he'll be harassed for it.
Well, isn't that interesting? Because we're seeing the same thing, and yet I'm seeing what a good thing it is. We have so few choices, and you're, from the woman's perspective, are seeing, wow, that's so limiting.
Well, and, you know, if you're born a woman and present as a woman and feel that you are a woman, you grow up dressing yourself and learning that you have options and learning how to do it. I think it would probably be harder for someone who wasn't always a woman,
yes,
who suddenly transitioned and was presented with so many options that might be crippling. You just stare at your closet for hours.
Yeah, that would be. But to me, even just being, like, getting excited, there's this thing, they say women love shoes, and some people, I don't know if that's a generalization, and I think, how could you get excited about shoes? And so I don't get it. But to me, I guess it's probably from the male perspective that men judge women all the time, like constantly, as soon as you're in the street, as soon as you're in public. And they judge a lot by, you know, body shape and size and hair color and everything else, but also by the clothes. And the clothes do present a type of person. And that's the part I struggle with.
They do, and it's there's a fine line to walk between saying, well, what kind of nonverbal message am I giving with the clothing I'm wearing, and then also balancing that with, do I care, and why should I care?
Yeah, that's you must have a fair amount of strength to get to the point of, do I care? And again, I guess that's my point. Thank you, because I would care all the time. Oh, my God, what does this make me look like? And I don't know, maybe it's probably because of my age, and it's rooted in the past that there was a mother image of, you know, Mrs. Cleaver from the Leave It to Beaver show with the dress and the pearls and a mother dress this way. And the girl always had a dress and bobby socks or something. And of course, all that's the past. Nobody's looking for that now. But the choices seem to decide. It seems to say what you wear. Okay, maybe this is it. It seems as if what you wear almost defines your personality. And surely that's not right.
I think it's the other way around.
Okay.
You have a personality and you want to express it. So let's take an example of someone who's not a woman, and that is my boyfriend, a regular Jason. He's a very, very large man, and he has a hard time finding clothes and things. He doesn't have the options that even you would have. Most of his clothing, it's dull, neutral colors, that clothing that comes in that size. But the one thing he can customize are shoes. He can buy those Chuck Taylors, those canvas sneakers, and they come in all kinds of designs and patterns and things. And so when he is feeling a certain way or wants to present a certain image, he gets very excited because he gets to pick out which pair of shoes he's going to wear to present himself that day. Because he
That
has other real options, really, with what he's wearing.
seems so limited in comparison to what a woman can do. Short pants, skirt, slacks, dress,
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I change my hair and makeup all the time. I do it without thinking about it or caring. But, I feel like if I were a guy and I suddenly woke up one day and said, "I'm feeling sassy," how would I display that? I could wear one of maybe four button-down shirts, but I wouldn't have the tools to express myself the same way I would as like a traditional woman.
But I don't know any guys who ever feel sassy. Like, it's just, I wore my
True
beads.
fan.
I wore my beads to church the other day, and I was quite proud of that. And I thought, I want to make a statement. And it was my pink shirt because it was our gay affirming day. And I thought, I want to go back. And these are beads I had from Nigeria. And that was a nice little touch. And nobody even noticed. It didn't mean anything.
But
But
you
I
noticed,
felt it. But
right?
I felt it. Yeah. And I was glad. So I'm very conscious of the colors I put on my t-shirts and so on. So I do think about it, but it's still a trend. Okay, I'm comfortable in either khaki pants or blue jeans, running shoes, a t-shirt, and then a shirt over it, and that's it. Like,
So you have a
that's
uniform.
almost And yet yourself, like, how do you decide when you get up in the morning? Is it a question of how much time you have, or how much energy, or how do you decide?
Sometimes it's largely based on weather too. I think one thing we have in common is that we live on Great Lakes, and Great Lakes have insane weather patterns. So when I wake up in the morning and I check the weather, it could be snowing and below freezing, or it could be unseasonably warm. So that is a large part in what dictates if I'm going to wear something long or short or pants or a skirt, and often too my laundry cycle. I might wake up feeling like it's a cat pants kind of day, but if my cat pants are dirty, then it's going to be a jeans day.
And you've got leggings are an option, I
I
guess.
wore those to work today, and it is like, I feel bad for you guys because you don't have the same type of comfortable pants options that we do as women. I guess you could wear sweatpants or track bottoms, but
Oh, I
those
just
don't.
hate to see that. I hate to see it
Yeah,
in public.
it doesn't look as pulled together as like a stretchy pair of women's pants. Somehow seems more formal and pulled together, but are just as comfortable. And I feel sad for you that you don't have that option.
Well, I don't think they should be worn outside the home, those kind of elasticy, soft lounging sweatpant type things. Maybe on a sports field or around your house, but certainly not in public. I'm just, maybe that's old fashioned, maybe, but it just, I hate
Absolutely.
the look of it.
Well, I don't know that I would wear them to the opera, but I do wear sweatpants to things like band rehearsal, where I'm going to be sitting in an uncomfortable plastic chair for a few hours,
Well,
that
you're
sort
a
of thing.
woman, though. I think that's the
It's
difference,
true.
though. You're right. I think you can get away with that. I don't think a man should be able to, especially because men are more prone to butt crack too. And of
I
course,
think we
that's.
should all be able to get away with the same things, but I think you're right in that there's a bit of a double standard, and women can probably get away with wearing a greater variety of casual clothes than men can.
Now, what about this whole makeup thing? Does that vary from day to day? Someday you'll have no
Yes.
makeup, someday you'll want to put it on or look a special way or something.
Oh, absolutely. And if I'm getting up to go to work at my law firm in the morning, I'm not going to wear glitter on my face.
No.
But, you know, tomorrow night at the Krampus Fest, I probably will wear glitter on my face. It's just appropriateness for the location you'll be in.
Now, how would you apply that glitter?
Well, the way I do it is I close my eyes and stand in a bathtub while Jason flings it at me. Because it will
Okay.
get everywhere.
Yeah.
But they actually make stuff that you put on with all these sponges. Listen, that's more complicated than I personally get into, but they've got whole videos on YouTube for how to do the makeup and the hair. And sometimes I'll try to watch them and do what they're doing. I never get it. I never do it right. I always look like a drunk.
Does the glitter just stick to the skin? Is that it? Or does it have to be applied somehow?
Makeup glitter is usually suspended in something, and I can almost guarantee you that whatever it's suspended in is going to break me out. So if I'm wearing glitter, I just use glitter and just press it to my skin.
Okay. Well, that sounds reasonable. And then, so, like, do you do your eyes every day? Do you have to do your lashes and your eyebrows and things? Or does
Oh, that
that.
is a lot of work, Ken. That is a lot of work.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a friend I follow on Twitter, Facebook, and he's what do you call it? Oh, but he's a drag artist, I guess. And most of us, he was actually very involved in the podcasting community right from the beginning. He's often gone to PodCamp Toronto. Gosh, suddenly I forget his name. Oh, Tiffany. And only once I met him as the male person, and I spent a wonderful afternoon in his backyard, but otherwise we've always known him as Tiffany. And he enjoys putting the camera on and then just applying his makeup. And he's sort of bare-chested, so you just sort of see him from above the nipple line up, I guess. And he goes on for a long time.
Isn't it
And it's
fascinating?
well, it's quite amazing. It's quite, you can get drawn into it because he's got this sort of a husky voice, and he calls everybody his little sweet peas, I think, and it's very enticing. It's not a world I want to enter, and I don't particularly want to go to a drag show, although I know they're entertaining.
Oh,
But
yeah,
just
and the artistry and the theater work is incredible on some of them.
it is, yeah. And
In the direct shows.
he's really into it. But it seems the amount of time he'll spend just making up his face, and it's
Well, that's
another
interesting
world.
to you, but that's probably this person's way of being creative.
It
And makeup
is.
artistry is a talent, but you probably spend just as much time personal podcasting, you know, and that's your hobby and
Well,
that's your way of being
yeah,
creative.
but that's a very different thing. I
Is it?
mean,
It's a creative outlet. You
oh,
both
I, yeah.
are creative outlets.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not judging him on. I'm saying I tune in and we'll all say hello. I guess I have a lot of admiration for him too, that anybody who can get to that point in their life would say, hey, this is who I am. I have another full-time regular job in public, but I'm also a big part of me is this drag queen artist.
That's like the
So.
people in the furry community. Jason and I have a friend who he does a lot of the like leather work and needlework for the furry conventions. He also does
Yeah.
security. And some of the people, they make their own costumes and suits, and it's a whole second lifestyle. You know,
Yeah.
they've got their day jobs, and then on the weekends, they hang out with their friends and they spend so much time and money putting these personalities and these characters together. And
Yeah.
it's kind of this fascinating subculture and of people who found each other and love it. And I think that's kind of cool.
It is neat that these subcultures exist. Absolutely. No judgment at all. I find it bizarre. I don't know anybody in that, and I wouldn't want to. I know, I maybe from a distance observe, but it's not a circle I'd want to be a part of. But I'm glad to see the degree of freedom we have for people to say, yeah, this is what makes me feel good, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to dress up as this character, whatever it is. So that's
And these
good.
are things that the internet has given to us, whereas, you know, in the past, people might have been hurt or killed for having
Yes.
these kind of hobbies that people would find threatening
Oh,
in some way.
absolutely.
And the
Absolutely.
internet's great because you see that people are all really the same.
Yeah. Although there are a lot of countries, I don't think this would go over big in
Well,
Saudi Arabia or Pakistan or anywhere else.
that's true. There are always places where it wouldn't be accepted. I think like even the high school, the town I went to school in, that sort of behavior probably still would not be welcomed.
Yeah.
Very,
Yeah.
very small town, sort of rednecky.
Right. Right. That still exists. And that's why the book that we're going to be studying from church is great, because it was somebody who is a trans individual but knew he was different from the time he was a child. And it's such a sad story of what it's like for a person with those kind of sensitivities to go through high school when there are other people either struggling with their own identity and therefore attack anything that's different, you know. And you feel, oh my God, the pain, the sadness.
Well, and the amount of people who were not able to recognize publicly, or even maybe just to family and friends, that who weren't accepted and who've died
Yeah.
by suicide because
Yes.
they could not live as they were, and people are still doing that, and it's hard to swallow that that's still happening
Yeah,
now.
it is. Well, I mean, the thing is, when we say we, it's only this part of the world and perhaps Europe where this is acceptable. Rule out Africa, rule out Eastern Europe, rule out any of the Arab countries, traditional countries, Indian subcontinent, Pakistan. You can't do that.
That's true.
You know,
That's true. There's
maybe in
still, of
show
course,
business,
places of
maybe.
the world where,
Yeah,
yeah, that would not
yeah.
fly.
I came on that thought today. I don't know what it was in particular, but it really made me sad when I realized this degree of the freedom that we have. We know this is right. The tolerance of not, like, okay, it was over animal cruelty. Like, it's just wrong. Don't hurt any animal. Just don't. And the fact that some people don't get it. Would, you know, kick a dog or a cat or much worse. I can't even talk about it because it hurts me so much. But
You know, some people don't understand that people are animals, which is basic science. Humans are animals, and I think that they think that we're separate, but we're not.
That might be part of it. But to me, it's a lack of sensitivity, and it's a colossal stupidity. I blame males more than anything. I mean, I really think in terms of the human species, it's the males are the biggest problem. Generally speaking, it's men who get drunk and beat their wife. It's men
Yes,
who,
largely. And
you
I
know.
wonder why it's weird to me that women have this reputation for being irrational and hormonal, but when you take a step back and look at these hate crimes or a lot of these things like road rage, largely those incidents are caused by men. Why? Why are men
Well, this is the thing,
more like that?
and I guess maybe that's what this anniversary of the massacre in Montreal was kind of about. Like, hey, men, look at yourself, you know, look at your values, look at what you profess to believe in, watch your behavior. Listen, that cat meowing in the background, which I'm enjoying hearing, but why is it doing that?
Oh, because I'm giving attention to something that's not him. And if you'll excuse me just a moment, I have to step in and discipline.
Oh
Excuse me.
no.
Buster? No. So sometimes when I am on like a phone call or doing something like this, my cats are very social, and I think they recognize that they're hearing another human voice, and they want to know why the other human isn't here.
Okay.
Giving them snacks.
Okay. So tell me now, just to fill in the gap there, what pets do you have?
So I have a couple dogs, and
Yeah.
then I've got three cats. And I would like to say from the outset that I did not intend to be the single crazy lady with all of the pets in her house.
No.
But we have kind of a, I don't know, people in my family, we animals find us, we kind of rescue
Yeah.
them,
Yeah.
and it just happened.
Which came first into your house? The dogs? The cats?
Yes.
Just background, the rough age, names and ages?
So, Sprocket and Harold, two orange cats my mom found with their litter. Speak of animal cruelty, they had been dumped in a park. Some broken bones. Sprocket, my cat, had an injury to his eye. He's blind in one eye.
Oh no.
In tar, which might have just been paving,
Yeah,
summer. So, I ended up with those two cats, and then
Are they still young?
no, I want to say they're about 13,
Oh,
and
okay.
then I've got a cat named Doobie who's probably 10. I did
Okay.
not name her. She was my former brother-in-law's cat, and he was in an apartment, and the landlord said no, so she came to me.
Okay, so that's the three cats.
Yeah, and then I've got Odo and Buster, who came from two different dog rescues. And I gotta say, you go to a dog rescue, and yeah, you're getting an older dog, and they might have things like separation anxiety, but you're also getting a dog with training and neutering
Yeah.
and shots, and you're paying maybe $150 for it. And I know these people who will go to breeders and they'll get these pets who
Oh.
still grow up to have behavioral problems or,
Oh, it bugs the
even
hell out of
worse,
me.
physical problems because of the
Yeah.
inbreeding or, the whole puppy mill situation. They're
Oh.
not all breeders are ethical, and they'll
No.
pay thousands of dollars for these animals that, with no training that comes along with it,
Yeah.
and they still need shots and they still need things. So.
It's so wrong. I just don't get that. I have a good friend whose ex-wife found a particular breed of dog, and this dog was sick, and eventually it got, big lumps in its neck and died of cancer, but always needed special meds. And then she went out and got an identical dog from inbreeding, and the same thing, kind of a sickness, needing this medicine. And they would have spent thousands and thousands of dollars on keeping those dogs alive. And I just find it, when there are poor dogs sitting in cages and, in city shelters and so on, that are just begging for a good home with so much love to give.
Yeah, and you can get a dog from an adoption agency and say, look, I have these requirements I would like for an animal, or I have allergies, I need a
Oh,
hypoallergenic dog.
yeah.
You can do that still.
And the size, too, and of course, but.
Yeah, and there are certain temperament things that come with different breeds. It's not all
Yes.
bullshit, but I'm sorry, can I say bullshit on Gappage?
We don't have Clara warnings on
Okay.
Gappage. Okay.
Okay.
I need to be
Very
very
good
clear
English
on that.
language up until now. I keep reminding myself it's not the show hole.
No.
Don't be
It
show hole.
can be you if you've listened to Gappage in the past, Brent and I, especially after a couple of tokes or something,
Oh, that's true.
it does go into strange territory. This whole issue of the Clara warning, I think it's a cute thing, but I would never put out a podcast where I felt I had to be thinking, oh, there might be a young child listening, so I should watch what I say. That would limit me so absolute much.
I
It would
do have
just
a
drive
hard
me
time when
nuts.
we're doing the music one because they want that to be fairly clean. And
Who's they?
oh, the Jasons and
Okay.
Teller, yeah, they sort of try to be clean with the language to make it appealing to more people.
Okay.
And I get that, and I try to respect that, but it's really hard for me. So.
Yeah. Well, don't feel that way on this show. Now, there was one other topic I was going to avoid, but since this
Let's
is
not
kind
do
of a
it.
beginning, let's what?
Let's not do it. Let's throw it all in here.
Oh, so let's do it, you said, or let's not.
Yeah,
Yeah.
let's not
Well, it
avoid.
was the matter of I hate the blanket term religion, so I'd narrow it down just to God, because you and I started to have a conversation about that when we were in Hamilton, and we were going to talk about that, and I don't know, time ran out or something came up, and we never got around to it at all. So, and again, this is just filling in a bit of your character. You go to church on a regular basis, I understand. Every Sunday.
Almost every Sunday, yeah.
Okay, as do I. And it's a church that your mother also goes to.
It's the church I started going to when we moved out to the more rural part of Ohio back when I want to say I was 5 or 6.
Okay.
So it's a church I've been attending for a long time.
Now here our churches are fairly easy to understand. I mean, you're either Catholic or Protestant. For number one, and if you're Catholic, certainly in Canada, you can go to a Catholic school system, which I am dead against. There should be one public school system, but it's part of our history. We promised the Catholics they could keep what they had.
So the Canadian government pays money for Catholic schools.
Well, the schools are done provincially, so there is funding for them. But when the English basically conquered the French, and Canada became in 1759, they allowed the French, who were here first and who basically were doing a fine job on their own till the British decided they wanted the lucrative beaver trade and everything else. They had their religion, their culture, their laws, and everything else. And the English, to, you know, in a wise move, said, okay, you can keep that. Keep your Catholic faith and the separate school system. And so now it's sort of written, this is part of what Canada is. And it would be a huge cost saving. But no politician wants to risk losing the Catholic vote. So very, very few stand up and say, we'll do this. But it opens the door for other people to say, well, then why can't we have a separate Jewish system and a Muslim or
I agree.
Islam
I don't
system?
Think and it's money crazy. Should go to religion-based schooling.
Well, I was just pointing out that it was a historic, the reason it's historic, it's not something that came in later and said, oh, we need our own school system. It was sort of promised in the beginning. It's probably in our constitution somewhere. Mm. So it's a very hard thing to get rid of. But anyway, we went to separate schools, and there were always fights between the Protestants and the Catholics. We had nicknames for each other, and it just always seemed a little bit strange. They would have a pope and so on. So, but then within the Protestants, you have Anglican, which is Church of England, and then Baptists and United, which is bringing a bunch of churches together for some common elements. Your church, I think maybe in the States you have many more factions.
Oh, we have so many types of churches, so many of them.
So maybe explain your side a little bit.
So the church I go to, now you have the UCC, United Church of Christ in Canada, right?
I don't know. We have the United Church of Canada. I don't know about UCCC.
Okay. So the UCC is sort of the most liberal of the Protestant divisions, and I go to a church that's a denomination one step less liberal than that called the Disciples of Christ. And if you're familiar with Jim Jones.
Yes.
So he started out teaching from a disciples background and then, of course, obviously was insane and went and started his own cult and did terrible atrocities. Mm-hmm. But that's usually how people know about Disciples of Christ. And basically it's just a denomination without a lot of rules. So you don't have to believe a lot of dogma to belong. It's, you want to go to church. You're vaguely Christian. We all have, amongst the members, drastically varying beliefs, what we believe religiously. But we come together, and I imagine just as you do in your own church, you come every Sunday, you learn things you can apply to improve yourself, practice compassion, acts of service for others, and it sort of doesn't matter, you know, if you believe that dinosaurs and humans existed at the same time, or if you think there's going to be a rapture. We've got all kinds of people who believe all kinds of different things.
Okay. See, in our church, there'd be nobody who could believe dinosaurs and humans were there at the same time. Like, that just would be...
We have too many of those left. I think most of those people have passed on, you know, age. That seems to be a belief that stuck with some of our octogenarians, but we had a couple.
Okay. Have you ever had a conversation with other Jason, normal Jason, I don't know what we call them now.
Tennessee Jason?
Tennessee Jason, yes. About church, about his church or religion?
We message all the time. We have I don't want to make the sound exclusionary, but we do have kind of a show hole Slack where we message. And sometimes we'll send each other funny things from church.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's also a churchgoer, so, you know, he'll have a funny slide he'll take a picture of or something. And something we have in common.
That's why I asked, because I have had talks with him too, but sometimes I go a little, I get a little annoying in my own, which I'm probably about to do now.
Bring it.
Well, it's just, I guess, I've reached the point where the stage that a lot of people don't like, it's a person who's given up smoking, you know, and so everybody should give up smoking, and giving up a belief in any kind of a God that is involved in human affairs. Like, I just can't get my head around that. I don't know that I ever could, but it's just become so much stronger now and seemingly important. in my life, like sciences on one side, and then this idea. And that's why I don't know if you followed when Candace talked about this wave of energy surrounding the Earth when we were doing a little Discord chat.
Oh, yeah, was didn't she get a pamphlet about us from a religious group who did not like the concept of 5G because they thought it was going to harm? Okay. So
And other people have are against the 5G, but there was a reference to this energy that maybe protected the Earth, or the Earth had its own, I don't know,
like T
layer of
cells on our
something.
skin, something like that.
Something. I think, and I was trying to pin it down, but we weren't able to. So I find myself, like I'm a little bit of hippy dippy wacky out there in some of my thoughts, and I found there was a really interesting article. It should have shown Oliver, called "The Hippies Were Right. It Is All About Vibes," and it talked about in physics they're describing everything works in terms of vibrations, and vibes can get in sync with each other, but everything gives off these vibes, this sort of energy form,
Like
including.
whales?
Well, whales, but inanimate objects as well. Everything is made up. All matter is made up of these vibes, and you can sort of, maybe there are times you tune into them, or and so I think, okay, that's not God, but maybe there's a lot of things that we don't really know and understand, and clearly there are. That's why I rave on about LSD. It's just there's so much we just don't know about what it is to be human.
And can you imagine? I actually had a talk with a regular Jason about this on Wednesday. 200 years ago, the things that people thought were witchcraft and magic, now we call it science and technology. And in another 200 years, I can't even imagine what technology or day-to-day living is going to look like with advances and discoveries and the things people will be able to do that we don't even think are possible now.
See, I think that we will get to the stage, maybe this will be 1,000 years, I don't know, where we don't need to talk anymore, as we're doing. With words. Now, I don't know how we do it from a distance, but you're in the presence of somebody. It's like being able to read minds. Heinlein wrote about it in Stranger in a Strange Land. It was able to grok. Somehow you can enter another person's
Oh,
brain
yeah. Yes,
and
I
see
know what you're
things
talking
from
about.
them. And to me, that seems, well, of course it's inevitable. Like it's like in the beginning we just had grunts and sign language and pictures on cave walls, and
Maybe
now
we
we've
should
become very
escape.
sophisticated.
Maybe it'll be another part of evolution too. If we think, when we look at dogs and cats, and how they can pick up on body language, when Jason and I are doing dog training, we do a lot of it without opening our mouths and saying a word. What if our brains can evolve to the point where we don't need it?
There was a book I have in my basement bar called Mind in the Waters, and it was just, I would say, a wonderful book, but just talking about, whales and porpoises and what appears to be a very high level of intelligence, and we just can't tune into it, that's all. Meanwhile, we're killing them and eating them, but
We
there's
also
so
don't have
much.
that need, they communicate that way because they live in water, which transmits things differently than living on the ground and working through air. So they've evolved different survival systems. And as we continue to destroy the Earth, I firmly believe that Earth will survive. Humans won't, but Earth will survive. What if humans who live, their strong traits, they adapt and evolve so that's how they communicate in maybe an environment where speaking uses too much oxygen, and so they develop these other forms of communication. This could be part of evolution.
Sad. We have no way of knowing. We certainly won't be around for
Imagine
it.
it's so unfair, isn't it? Like, I wouldn't want to live forever because I think life is a slog, but I do hope that there's a moment where we get to see it all and all the questions that we have get answered.
Well, I guess that goes back, it pulls us back to the topic we are on. Because, like I say, I like to leave my mind open to these other, weird things. Not aliens, I don't buy that business. But just the things that we don't know that we're capable of or will be capable of.
How could you not buy aliens? Like, we live in an infinite
Oh
universe.
no, there are, but they're not here.
Oh, no, I agree with you. They're
Oh,
not
of
here.
course. No, life on other planets, absolutely. You
Yeah, it
know.
wouldn't make sense that there wouldn't be life on
No,
other planets.
it would be insane not to. But I think what I do reject clearly is the idea that there is a God who made all this, and this God is involved. Like, that is so human-centric and earth-centric that, oh, this God, whoa, he's got time for us, but he made all
Well,
that
the
other shit
micromanaging
too.
God who manages touchdowns.
Well, it's just so weird to even think that. And so you can understand going backwards why we made this God, why we needed this God. And I've always thought Christianity was a philosophy. It's not a religion, it's a philosophy. Here's how you should
Oh,
live. Love one
philosophy.
another, be kind, be gentle, you know, forgive your neighbors and so on. But why do we need the God, and why, of all things, do we need an afterlife?
Oh, I'm
So
sorry. Was that a rhetorical question, or are you asking me a question?
it was, I just dropped it out there and I was waiting for you to pick it up. And
Even if this were a perfect world and we didn't have things like food insecurity or income inequality or infant death or things like that, I think we probably wouldn't fear death and we probably wouldn't want the idea of something. I mean, when we can't control our lives, we hope that there is something controlling our lives, and that gives us security, but we don't live in that kind of world. And I think it's coming from a great place of privilege to be able to look at someone who is whose life is horrible, who's got nothing to look forward to, or every day is a struggle, and to say, you know what, you're in control of all this. There is no God. This is as good as it gets, and when you die, it's done. I think that's kind of cruel.
But
And
isn't sorry.
whether or not it's true, I think if someone believes that there is someone looking over them and protecting them, and they're in a place where they don't have that kind of control over their lives, I would never, ever tell that person, no, that's not true. There is nothing. This is it for you.
No, that's a very, very good point you're making. It's a very good point. I guess there's a flip side to it too, that at the same time, you don't want to start on somebody when they're full of promise and just, you know, a child, and say, okay, you do bad, you're going to go to hell. You do good,
Oh
you
no,
go to
that's
heaven, for
I
that whole thing. Or to deliberately lie to people. I understand the comfort. Like when my mother was facing death, I know she fully believed she was going to meet my father and they would be together again. And I never wanted to take that away from her, as much as I knew, no, sorry, no, you're not. He's gone. You're going to be gone. So it was nice for her to have that dream. I won't have that dream and I don't care. But that's.
think that there's more because there's so much that we didn't think was possible, you know, even just a couple hundred years ago that we now know is. I like to think that with all the infinite possibilities of space and time, that there's more. And if there's not, then there's not, and that doesn't bother me. But back to what you said about punishing children with the fear of hell and things. So, you know, one of the bad things about going to a church where everyone's allowed to believe sort of their own beliefs is that when I was a child, I had this Sunday school teacher who I know now was probably from one of those families where they used religion to control and mentally abuse their children. But as a child, I didn't have that kind of sympathy for her. And she would tell us, especially the girls, she'd always separate girls from boys. She would tell us things like, if you dress or act in a way that makes boys think sinful thoughts, then you've condemned them to hell and you are worse than they are and you'll be punished for it. And you could tell that she was telling us that because she really believed it herself, and that just for being women and for being born little girls, that we were already evil and sinful. And even as a kid, I knew that that was bullshit. And as an adult, I feel real sorry for her, and
Well,
that
it
and
is
also
true.
angry that she was allowed to teach us that
Well, there's a
in
lot of people like that out
like,
there.
hey.
But I'm thinking the case of the person that I've just met recently, Dave, forgot his last name. Who was diagnosed with ALS? He's an ex-minister, lost his faith in God. He is really angry that some children he knows or know him are crying because they know he's not going to go to heaven because he's rejected God. And they're very upset. He's going to die and he's not going to get to heaven. And they feel terrible. And he thinks that's just the utmost cruelty
Oh,
that
I
you've
agree.
inflicted that on these children. But
I agree. I
that's
think
part and
that's
parcel of
true.
going to that church and a lot of other churches. You know,
Yeah, I
hey.
think there's got to be a middle ground, which is saying many things are possible. Life is a journey. You're going to believe different things at different points. And to not tell children that one way is right or wrong, I think
Right.
that's probably important.
But you do believe, because I think we pretty well got to this point the last time we talked in Hamilton. You do believe in an afterlife.
I don't know if I do or don't. I don't know. There's no way of knowing. I think it would be great if there was, but if there's not, that's fine. It doesn't keep me awake at night. I don't have any angst over it. I don't
Okay.
know. No
Okay.
one knows.
So
Doesn't matter.
you're saying it's a non-issue.
It's a non-issue. There's nothing you can do about it.
Okay. And I guess that's the difference then. There's a gappage. Because to me, it's an issue. Like, to me, it's almost like I don't even want to allow people to believe. We're just a bio-organism. And it's got a life force in it. And that life force dies. There's nothing. There's no spirit. There's no self. The self is just something we've created. This personality or this identity. But there is nothing there. There is no soul. There is no other part to us beyond this body. There isn't when a dog or a chimpanzee or an elephant dies. There isn't when we die. And to me, that's just so firm. Pardon me?
Why do you think it bothers you that other people don't believe that so strongly?
Well, because I believe so firmly it's true. And like, people are in denial of truth and reality and science. That's the part that bothers me. You know, it's. I can understand what you were saying. Some poor person has a tough life, and somebody says, "Don't worry, Jesus is watching. He'll look after you." But we're seeing that almost in a condescending way. That okay, this poor beggar can't get his shit together, so we'll give him a little fake story and make him feel better.
We're telling them that. I think what we're doing is, if someone really believes that, and allow them to believe it without insulting them by saying, "I'm smarter than you are," and when you say, here we go back to science. Yeah, it's science as we know it now, but science as we know it now and science as we knew it then are different. So what's science going to tell us about the nature of life, where it, when it begins and when it ends in 1,000 years? We don't know.
You're right. I'm going to let you have that. how could I not? But we'll see. Well, I think we're almost at the 1 hour mark. I think we've had a fine conversation. I don't know. How do you feel about it?
I feel great. We did a great job. No one got drunk.
No, I just about finished my beer. But I enjoyed it. Well, sometimes the point is to. And so I guess the question was, should we try it again sometime when it is a little more provocative? Because Brent and I normally did. Or should I be looking around for somebody who's not as nice as you and who I'd have an easier time beating up on?
Oh, I would love to have an argument with you someday, but I do like this idea of opening it up to people, especially maybe if you organically in conversation discover a gappage, saying, hey, let's do a gappage about this. I think that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe you could even find it in your heart to forgive Brent and bring him back for a couple episodes.
That would be a very, that's a real long shot, because I've given him so many openings. Even on when it really hurt was when I reminded him, you know, and I'd put all those postings up. Hey, it's Canada's National Day of Podcasting. A clear opening. And I think the answer was, oh, yeah.
Well, I'm going to say two things in Brent's defense.
Okay.
One, if you wanted to do a gappage for Canada's National Day of Podcasting, you probably should have just said, hey, I would like to do a podcast, a gappage for Canada's National Day of Podcasting. I think you need to be direct with Brent. He gets that. But also, I do want to point out that our friend Brent is newly engaged. I want you to think back to when you were newly engaged.
Yeah.
And do you remember how it felt like?
No, I'm.
The relationship was new and fresh, and you were so in love, and you had no place in your bubble for anything else. I think we have to give him that and be happy for him and allow him to cocoon with his love.
I fully agree with that assessment, and that's a thing that's held me back from saying anything or saying, come on, let's do one on this date. But what I see is Brent gets home, and then he's off gaming. He's doing something. So he's not necessarily sitting with her. He's doing something else. He has the time. And in the entire time we did that whole run of 50 episodes of Gappage, I felt like I was training him to take a little initiative because it's something he sometimes lacks. And my goal, my purpose, was for Brent to be the one to say, hey, Ken, I think it's time we did another gappage. I was waiting for that. And it felt like, you know, either I failed in getting that across, and he just didn't pick it up. So, no, I'm not in a forgiving mode at all. But I do understand, and I am truly delighted. He's even asked me to have a part in his wedding. I think I'll have to stand there. And so it's, you know, the friendship exists.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about this. I hope there are lots of pictures.
Well, the thing is, I really genuinely love Brandy. She's a wonderful person.
Oh, she's fantastic.
And damn it, he's going to hear this too. But it is a perfect match, and it is such a happy ending for both of them.
So you know what?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, you go ahead. I'm a bad interrupter.
Well, no, I was just going to say it's such a great thing, and that genuinely gives me happiness.
When we first heard on the show, Holda, he was meeting this woman that he'd met on Tinder. From the very moment he started talking about her, my Jason and I said something to each other along the lines of, oh, this is it. Brent's in love. This is the one. And we were sort of joking that we should record like a congratulations to them. This is years ago.
Yeah.
Because we knew that this is where they were going to end up. So, yeah, I think we all knew this was coming, and I'm very excited for them, very happy for them.
It is. All right. Well, on that note, there's certainly no gappage there. Thank you very much for stepping in, and it's been an absolute pleasure.
And thank you for allowing me to come on and play.
Well, we'll probably do it again sometime.
Great. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.